it's that time on the radio here in Spain where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. But from now on, we'll be joined in our weekly discussions by one of Blevins Franks' senior partners for Spain, either Brett Hansen or Chris McCann. We're starting with Brett this week, and we'll introduce him in the second half of the interview. So, Bill, how has this week been from a news point of view?
It's been a mixed week, Howard. Obviously, the number of deaths occurring following coronavirus infection rising to the sort of levels it has in the UK has become quite distressing. It doesn't appear to be waning any time now. Perhaps this is the run through from allowing mixed groups over the Christmas and New Year holidays. Let's hope it starts to fall soon. Donald Trump, of course, has finally left the White House for his home in Florida. He says that he will be back in one form or another. Let's hope he doesn't rush to judgment on these things. The inauguration, of course, of Joe Biden has now taken place, and the USA has a new president. It's been interesting to see how sterling has strengthened against the dollar due to a modest increase in inflation, given the markets an opportunity to look at the comparative value between the two currencies. And it was very interesting to see that the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccines appear, after a limited amount of investigation, to be good for the new accelerated strain of coronavirus, which has found its way into the UK and into other countries. So that's a promising sign, with vaccinations being rolled out, 5 million or so now having been vaccinated in the UK. The UK's done pretty well on that score, Howard.
Yeah. Well, we're a few weeks into Brexit now, so let's look back at what's changed for UK nationals living in Spain or wanting to move here. Has anything changed regarding residence for those who are already living here?
Well, when the Brexit transition period, as it was called, ended at the 31st of December, the UK simply joined the ranks of other nations like Australia, like the USA, like all other countries, in becoming what is classified as a third country, with UK nationals losing what they had enjoyed for a long time, the automatic right to study, work and live without restriction in the European Union. But any British person who can prove that they were legally settled in Spain, as at the 31st of December, can maintain what are called citizens' rights protections under the agreed withdrawal agreement. And this provides the right for them to remain and come and go in Spain with broadly the same access to benefits as indigenous citizens living in Spain, Spanish people. And these rights only apply to your country of residence for as long as you remain resident there. To gain full EU citizenship as a UK national, unlocking the freedom to live and work in any EU country, you need to become a Spanish citizen, which is possible, not guaranteed, but possible, after 10 years of residence.
What about those who still have to move to Spain? Will applying for residence be a lot harder now?
I think it's inevitably going to be somewhat more complicated, because there isn't an automatic right of access to Spain by a UK national who wasn't resident before the 31st of December. With the freedom of movement pre-Brexit, British people did not always need to meet stringent requirements to become an EU resident, because the UK was part of the EU, and they could apply once they already had transferred their residence to Spain. Now, those wanting to live in Spain now have to meet the legal immigration requirements and provide the correct documentation in advance of arriving, not after you have arrived, which is how it was before. As you can no longer apply in country, individuals who want to relocate to Spain will need to go to the relevant consulate or embassy in the UK and wait for the paperwork to come through before moving. Now, to apply successfully, you'll need to demonstrate you have sufficient annual income to support yourself and your dependents without relying on the state. And whilst this has always been a condition of EU residence, it has not always been enforced. plus the income thresholds for third state nationals are generally higher than they are for EU citizens. There are, however, special visas and fast-track residence programmes that are available that can make moving to an EU country much easier, including the Golden Visa in Spain. So it's worthwhile exploring all of the options.
Of course, many UK residents have holiday homes in Spain and are used to being able to come and go as they please. How does Brexit affect them?
Yeah, there's a substantial change there for vast numbers of people. Putting the coronavirus restrictions aside, UK nationals who don't have EU residence or citizenship can currently still travel to Spain without a visa, but there are new limitations now. You'll only be allowed to stay for a 90-day period in any 180-day period. To stay for longer will require an application for a permit to stay longer than that 90-day period in advance of your stay. Now, that restriction isn't simply a restriction for people who want to visit Spain. The restriction covers the whole of the Schengen zone, which includes most EU countries, plus some EEA states. So you would not be able to, say, leave Spain and enter Portugal to gain more time, because it covers both countries, that time limit. If you enjoy spending part of the year in, for example, your Spanish holiday home, this is particularly likely to affect you. For example, if you stay there for June, July and August, as an example, you'll use up your allowance in one go, and you're actually now going to be unable to re-enter the country or any other Schengen state for any period of time until another 3 months have passed. So you wouldn't be able, if you were staying in Spain for June, July and August, to re-enter Spain until the end of November. And calculating your allowance of time isn't actually as simple as it seems. At the time, the time is treated as a rolling rather than a fixed period. So you need to count your 180 days backwards from your arrival date in a Schengen country, and then track your stay to check that you won't exceed the 90-day limit. You therefore have to take a lot more care when planning your trips to Europe to avoid illegally overstaying or being denied entry. You need to be prepared also to show a return ticket and answer questions at the border about the duration and purpose of your travel, and your passport has to be at least 6 months unexpired. Now, that 90-day rule seems to me like the EU countries within the Schengen zone shooting themselves in the foot, because if people own holiday homes and they're generally speaking going to stay there, say, for a continuous period of 4 or 5 months, why would they prevent these foreigners from coming in and spending their money in Spain? Otherwise, it is going to damage the economy unnecessarily. Now, the UK at the moment operates what is known as the 180-day rule, where people from the European Union can spend 180 days a year in the UK without a visa or without residency, and they don't have to divide their stay into two 90-day blocks. And that, I think, is the key hope that I have, that people with holiday homes will be the beneficiaries of a similar deal as the negotiations following the end of the transition period continue. I think it will gradually come to pass that individuals will be able to stay for a longer period than 90 days, but of course there's no guarantee of that at all.
Well, we'll turn to Brett Hansen now, but before we do, Bill, could you introduce Brett to our listeners?
Yeah, Brett has been and is a senior partner of Blevins Franks. He covers the region from Alicante to Tarragona. He came into financial services 20-odd years ago, joined Blevins Franks 21 years ago. He started as a team leader in the back office in Malta. He moved off on to being an office manager. He set up the Blevins Franks compliance department before joining the partner team in the Costa Blanca region. Brett's a law graduate. He's got the Diploma for Financial Advisors and the full UK Financial Planning Certificate. About 19 years ago, Brett became a partner of the firm and moved to the Blevins Franks offices in Javier, where he's now part of the six-person team He's supported, of course, by a team of client service officers, as well as pensions, tax and investments consultants based in the Blevins Franks offices in Malta and London. Brett has a particularly deep understanding of the local Spanish tax regime and how it interacts with UK taxation and how it affects UK nationals living in Spain. Brett's been delivering the highest quality of advice, and most of Brett's new clients come from referrals from his existing clients recommending his services. And in order to provide the sort of peace of mind that his clients are looking for and to ensure they achieve wealth preservation, Brett addresses every client's situation and provides clear, tailored advice at a personal level. This makes sure that clients are on the track to pass their chosen beneficiaries on death with the minimum of hassle and taxation, and of course to keep the taxation levels during their lifetime at the lowest possible level. Brett is a very highly competent and detailed senior partner of the business, and I welcome him to these discussions and hope that as the weeks pass by, our listeners will become more familiar with Brett's skills and talents about the issues of concern to expatriates living in Spain.
Well, welcome to our weekly discussions, Brett. It's a pleasure to have you joining us. What's your experience of Brexit so far, Brett? Have there been any surprises?
Well, first of all, thank you, Howard, for inviting me to participate in these broadcasts. And thank you, Bill, for your kind words. I'm sure my mother, who will be listening, particularly liked your comments. Now, in terms of my experience of Brexit, whilst it is obviously early days, I would say I've had two experiences, one on a personal level, one on a work level. Now, on the personal level, from time to time, I buy goods online from the UK, and typically they would arrive in, say, 3 or 4 days. At the beginning of this year, I brought some goods, and they've yet to arrive. In fact, I'm told that they're at customs. Also, I was recently in one of the supermarket chains here in Spain, which sell British goods, and it seems that the goods that have close sell-by dates, certain meats and things, haven't arrived since Brexit and are also at customs along with my goods. So that's one experience that I've had so far, and I'm sure that that will soon resolve themselves. The second relates to work, and I get a lot of emails and calls from British expatriates living here with a variety of different questions, but in the last few days I've had quite a few questions where they've been told by their UK advisor that they can no longer provide them with advice, and so they need to find alternative financial advisors. But other than that, those are my experiences so far, and I would say that generally life in Spain feels like it did before Brexit. I was about to say normal, but I don't know what normal is these days.
No, normal isn't normal at the moment, is it?
No.
Well then, Brett, do you have any further advice for listeners about residence in Spain in this post-Brexit world?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Bill covered all the salient points. The only things I would add is that if you want to spend more than 90 days in every 100 days in Spain, then there are basically two options. One is the non-lucrative visa that Bill described earlier, in which you would need to apply whilst in the UK. And the other is the Spanish Golden Visa, which you can apply whilst in Spain, but where you would need to purchase a property or have bought a property since 2013 for more than 500,000 euros. Alternatively, you can invest or deposit around about 1 million euros in a bank account in Spain. Now, of course, the EU and the UK, or possibly even Spain and the UK, could come to some sort of agreement whereby there are preferential terms in the future. But at the moment, those are the two options.
Yeah, I would think I'm talking about how we recovered the tourism industry, especially after the pandemic, and we've got lots of things on this. And I'm sure that the Spanish are well aware of the British and their, well, how much they make up for the Spanish economy. So I'm sure we might get something bilateral in the future once we're over the pandemic.
Yeah, I'd hope so. And certainly, you know, with what Bill was saying, that it seems crazy that that British nationals can only come here for 90 days, then have to leave for 90 days to then be able to come back for 90 days. You know, it will have an impact on their economy here in Spain.
Well, Brett, does being lawfully resident in Spain mean you are tax resident too?
Howard, this is a very good question and one that I get asked a lot. And to be clear, someone is a tax resident of Spain, which means that they're liable to tax on their worldwide assets in Spain if one of three conditions are met. Now, the first one is if they spend more than 180 days in a tax year here in Spain, which is the same as a calendar year. These days don't have to be consecutive, but if they spend more than 183 days between the 1st of January and the 31st of December, then they will be a tax resident of Spain. Alternatively, if your centre of economic interest is in Spain, now what does that mean? Well, that means, you know, that your professional activities, your work, or the majority of your assets are in Spain. In that situation, you will then be regarded as a tax resident of Spain. And finally, the third condition is that that Spain is the centre of your vital interests in Spain. Now, what does that mean? Well, that would mean that, for example, your spouse lives here, or if you have dependent children, that they too live here. Now, if you meet any of those conditions, then you are a tax resident of Spain and liable to tax on your worldwide assets in Spain, regardless or irrespective of what paperwork or residencies or visas you have. Now, going forward, if you apply for the non-lucrative visa, then you must spend more than 183 days in Spain, and therefore you will automatically be a tax resident of Spain. And if you apply via the golden visa, then whilst you can spend less than 183 days in Spain for that visa, if you choose to become a permanent resident of Spain in the future, then you will have had to have completed tax returns as a resident of Spain, a tax resident of Spain, for 5 years.
Okay. Well, finally, Brett, we sort of mentioned this in passing, but the situation of using UK-based financial advice and using UK-based investment arrangements now that the UK is not part of the EU. So can you recap on the advice you have on listeners and what they should do?
Sure. In the past, it was possible for UK-based financial advisors to be able to provide financial advice to UK nationals living in Spain under the EU passporting system. But of course, now that the UK is no longer in the EU, this is no longer possible. But I would say, look, regardless of this, it's always been my belief and Blevins Frank's belief that if you are living in Spain, you really should be dealing with someone who is locally based and understands the tax rules and the regulation in Spain. In the same way that, you know, if someone was moving to, say, Zimbabwe, I would be telling them that they need to speak to someone locally there about their tax situation. So I would say that if you are living in Spain or thinking of moving to Spain, then speak to a long-standing local advisor like Blevins Franks. Go to our website and you'll be able to find myself or one of the local offices' details and make contact with us.
Well, thank you very much. The website is, of course, www.blevinsfranks.com. And indeed, there are several offices along the coast here in Spain. And the area that you cover, Brett, just to remind us.
So, yes, I'm based in the Javier office. That is, I would say, halfway between Valencia and Alicante. And our office runs from just north of Altea, up to Tarragona.
Okay, and we'll be finding out probably next week, I don't know, if we're talking to Chris McCann, and I think he's based on the Costa del Sol. So it's quite interesting now because we've got information coverage along the coast of Spain in our different listening areas. So I think it's a great improvement. And well done, Brett. Thank you for your first contribution today.
Thank you, Howard.
We'll talk again soon.